The Holy Gospel comes from the 16th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do? Now that my master is taking the position away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors, one by one he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he answered another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks. I was at the Washington Correction Center at the Living Stones congregation, and so I preached there last night. This is a different crowd, it turns out, than there. But I'll ask them the same question that I ask, I'll ask you the same question I ask them. And the question is it easier to love here, in our context, or in the prison? Is it easier to love in the prison or out here where we are? Which one is easier to love? If you think out here, raise your hand if you think out here. Okay, if you think in the prison, raise your hand. Oh, somebody, at least somebody. Yeah, in the prison it was about half and half. No, it was a third that said yes to one, a third that said yes to no to the other one, and a third that didn't raise their hand. It's a trick question. Because you can love anywhere. That's the real answer. And I would argue, and this is the theme, God's love changes you. God's love changes you. Hopefully you're here today because you know that. And if you don't know that, or you've forgotten that, hopefully you'll be reminded of that as we sing songs together, as we share a meal together, as we sit in silence together, as we watch the kids be kids in this place of God, this home for them. Hopefully you're reminded of that, God's love for you. Before we get to chapter 16, I just want to give you an overview of Luke. In the beginning of Luke, Theophilus is a guy who the author, Luke, the author, addresses and who is a lover of God. That's his name, lover of God. And he says, "I'm going to give you the truth. Here's what the truth is. I've kind of looked at everything, heard all the stories. Here's what the truth is." And so he tells the story of Jesus. And a central part is when in chapter 4, when Jesus is in the temple and he opens this scroll and it happens to be at the right spot, not at a different spot. It's at the right spot in Isaiah, not in the previous reading of Isaiah. Sorry, Nancy, about that. We can't wait to have Pam back and then everything will be all right. But he opens it up and he says, do you remember what he says? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has called me to proclaim good news to the poor." To the words are heal, release, recover, the Lord's favor, and freedom. Those are all the words he uses. And then in the rest of the gospel, what does Jesus do? He does all those things. He heals people. He releases people of demons, of spirits. There's recovery of the blind, of sight. And freedom to love. Because when you encounter Jesus, and when people in the story encounter Jesus, and his love, and how he shows God's grace and mercy to them, their lives are changed. And that's how it is for us. Our lives are changed when we experience the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. Now, we have the bonus of the end of the story in chapter 24 of Luke. There's the first scene where Jesus is walking along with two, I think they're dudes. That's a loose translation, but two people. And they're walking along, and Jesus starts talking with them, and they're like, well, you know, Jesus was around, and now he's not, and we're not sure. And as Jesus starts talking with them, they realize, oh, wait a minute. This is Jesus. And he reminds them of God's love and the stories that he told and all of the things that Scripture talked about, God's love for us. And then he broke bread with them. And then he made a promise. Go tell the disciples, I'm going to go ahead of you. And so we have, in the end, we have the story of this resurrected Jesus. And I've said this before, what I think resurrection is. Resurrection is hope beyond your last breath. That's what I believe resurrection is. If you have faith, if you trust in the message of Jesus and that Jesus was raised from the dead for us, you have hope beyond your last breath. That last breath we take on this earth is not the end. There's more. And that's going to mean something different for all of us, what hope is. But that's what one of the things that drives us forward. And then the second piece is the promise that Jesus said. I will be ahead waiting for you. Like if you came into this building, those nice little kid faces right there, that's like Jesus looking at you when you came in. I'm here. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Know that you're loved by God, that I love you, and I'm glad you're here. Hope beyond your last breath and the promise that God will meet us here. That's what resurrection means. So we have the end of that story. And I said love changes you. And I think when you have faith in God's grace for you, and Lutherans, we talk a lot about grace. I think it's like floating a river, which I did this summer on the Deschutes. Deschutes, did I say it? Deschutes? 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 Deschutes, Deschutes, potato. So who's floated on a river before? Raise your hand if you've floated on a river before. All right, well, if you haven't floated on a river, before you die and take your last breath, you might want to try it on the Deschutes River, at least a little part of it, because it's pretty cool. It's pretty relaxing. You know, and the deal is, you get a floating device, which is usually an inner tube. If you're a larger person like me, you have some maneuvering to do down the river as the shallows get shallower and your buttocks kind of stops you. But anyway, those are technique things. Don't worry about that for now. But I believe God's love, how that changes you, is like being set in to that river. Because in that river, it takes you. It moves you forward, you know, and you might go over to the branches a little bit here and then back to the middle. And you want to do it with other people. I mean, you really, it's a good thing to do by yourself. That's as good as anything, but it's nice to have community. To do a float together is a great experience. Because there will come those rapids and someone will say, hey, there's rapids coming up. And then there'll be the log that's kind of hiding down low and someone will encounter that log so they can tell others the log's a coming. And then there's that corner and that corner. And once you experience that, it's like, well, I want to do that again. And then you do it again the next year, like I did last year and this year. And so as I'm going, a new log appears. And then there's a big log that goes almost across and you can bear, and that wasn't there last year. So things change. And that's how I believe it is with God's love for us. It changes us, and it's ever changing, and it's like floating down that stream. In the life of this church, we have a new thing, and it's been talked about a lot, and it's the Clean Kids laundry. Look at it if you haven't yet. It's in the classrooms, in the education room. And it relates now to this text, this chapter. Because here Jesus is talking in chapter 15, 16, and 17. He's giving a lot of parables. First, there was the lost parables. A lost coin, lost sheep, a son who left and came back and was lost. Father who embraced him. When the coin was found, there was much rejoicing. And when the one sheep out of the 99 was found, there was incredible rejoicing. And then you have this story, which is about this dishonest steward, a manager of the Lord's, or the rich person's wealth. And then Jesus in the next story tells about, which you'll hear about next week, about the rich man and Lazarus, who the rich man ignored Lazarus. Lazarus goes up to heaven. The rich man is down in hell, and you'll find out next week how that one goes. But part of what Jesus talks about is the lost are important, and it gets back to Jesus being in the Spirit and healing and releasing and recovering and giving freedom and providing the Lord's favor, because the lost ones are God's preference. That's what God's preference is. When we're talking about love, it's for those who are lost, for those who are least, for those who are lonely, for those who don't have what we have. And Jesus is pretty clear about possessions. He says, if you have possessions, you're blessed. But you have a greater responsibility in your freedom. In your freedom to love, if you have possessions, if you have things, there's so many more powerful things you can do. So we have a special responsibility as people sitting in these pews, because most of us have stuff. We're good. We're blessed. Which brings us to the Clean Kids. There's a phrase, stuff just got real. But you have to substitute the word stuff for something else, but like poop, for example. But so stuff just got real. And I say that because on Friday, we got our first call about Clean Kids. And it was from a mom. And we're not quite ready. We'll probably be ready tomorrow or the next day to start having folks come and do laundry. But I can promise you that if you overheard the conversation that I had with this woman and her children and her needs, you would say, Pastor Eric, where can I sign up? How can I help? Let's get this going right now. Why didn't we do this 18 months? I mean, it's compelling. You will want to help. I can promise you that if you overheard this conversation. So I can't wait till it opens up. Which is where my friend Pastor Dean, he's a guy from Georgia. He grew up as a Baptist. We talked, and he's more Lutheran than I. He became a Lutheran pastor, and so we talk all the time on the phone every week, several times a week. And this is what he said about the text, this text. And I think this is the best insight on this text. We are going to lie, cheat, and steal, and do whatever we can, because there is no law against love. Let me say that again. We are going to lie, cheat, steal, and do whatever we can, because there is no law against love. Now, what he's referring to is in Paul. In Paul, Jesus says love, peace, joy, and six other things. Those are the things that are in the Spirit. Which gets back to Jesus, who says, I'm in the Spirit, and I'm going to do all these things. And you will receive the Spirit. That's the other thing he said. I'm going to be out ahead of you, but you're going to have the Spirit. And we do have the Spirit. And when we receive the Spirit, then we know love. And we know God's love. And it changes us. So, starting Monday, if you would like, in your freedom, to do something extraordinary, If you want to reach out the least and the lost and the lonely and the last and really kids who are homeless in our school district, then sign up. Talk with Nancy Grant, who's here, who just did the readings. She's one of our co-stewards. And Marilyn Alf is the other one. And those two will be coordinating all of us who are interested in accompanying and the love that we know that has changed us, we can give to others accompanying the folks who come here, the students who come here. Because when that first family comes, they're going to know that God's love is for them in this place right now as they're doing their laundry. And that's going to change them, because love changes you. Love changes you. That's when you're in the Spirit and you receive grace and mercy and freedom to love. You share it with others. And that, my friends, that is truly good news. Amen.